What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we have a very special guest joining the show today, Mr. Matthew Ike. Ike will be the first ever official guest on the Riddle Me That podcast, so that's very exciting. Ike is one of the most passionate sports fans I know. He's also the biggest Cubs fan I've ever seen, as he's been wearing a Cubs hat on his head for pretty much his whole life, probably since he's been born. And he's also one of the biggest Packers fans that I know, unfortunately. But I thought he'd be a great first guest to have on the show today, as he is not afraid to speak his mind. So today we are going to talk about the future of the Cubs, the future of the Packers, and their current draft pick. And we're also going to discuss the future of the NBA and if that's going to happen in this upcoming year. So lots of great stuff to talk about on the show today. Can't wait to get started. I'd now like to welcome to the show Mr. Matthew Ike. Ike, it's a pleasure to have you on today. How's it going out there, buddy?
It's doing good. Glad to be on. Happy that you're back in the podcast / radio game again. So,
yeah, it's been a while. You know, I remember when we planned for you to join the Alex and Alex in the afternoon show. And, of course, some loser was in our radio slot at the studio at Augustana. I remember how bummed we were. So I'm happy to have you back on the show. I know you've been wanting to get on for a while, so this is great. So I want to hop right into my episode title this week. 34, get off the field. That's a bench number. I'm sure most people don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but that's your quote right there. And I'd love for the people to know how you came up with that quote. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, we were just at a group of us that went over to watch Augustana soccer game. We knew a lot of the soccer players back in college, so we'd always go over the games when they had home games and kind of just like heckle the other team. So one of the players, one of the most annoying players on another team, was number 34. So I kind of just said, yeah, I got the field. 34 is a bench number, just because in my experience in soccer, usually the better players on the team were like number like 1 through 25 or like 1 through 30. Like when you get up like in the higher numbers, it's usually, well, in the Premier League, I guess. Sometimes the Italian leagues just look like that as well. They get a little weird with the numbers, but like the Premier League, if you have like a high number like that, you're usually like a scrub or like a really young player that hasn't really like broken to the team yet. So I was just kind of insinuating that he wasn't really one of the better players of the team, but I just based on his number, which is kind of dumb, but, you know, everyone was saying dumb stuff then, but we were just trying to get the heads of the other players, so.
Well, and I did my own.
I guess that's where it comes from.
I did my own research on pro players with the number 34, and let me tell you, it was a pretty hefty list. There was guys like Walter Payton, Hakeem Olajuwon, Paul Pierce, David Ortiz, Kerry Wood. So it was funny to look up that, yeah, actually number 34 has a lot of superstars. But as you were saying before, you were just heckling the guy. I didn't go to a lot of Augustana soccer games, but you definitely went to a lot of them. And I feel like it was actually a pretty cool environment for a D3 atmosphere. So that was awesome that you guys, I mean, you were usually leading the charge with a bunch of the other guys, making it a pretty fun atmosphere, I feel like.
I definitely understand some 34s that are good out there. I mean, that's just kind of just saying, like, soccer, you don't see a lot of number 34s that are tearing the world apart. But, yeah, the soccer games, you know, you're a bunch of fun. We just go there for a little bit and then go to cabbies at halftime.
Absolutely.
For the second half. So it's always, like, it's on a Friday night or, like, Saturday afternoon. It's always fun to go over and watch the boys play. Yeah, they weren't the greatest team, but yeah, that's okay.
No, I don't think they promoted how good they were ever. They were just happy to get fans there is what I remember most from that. But let's hop right into what we're going to talk to about. Let's talk about the Packers. So Packers recently drafted Jordan Love, quarterback from Utah State. They actually traded up a couple spots for him in the first round, pick number 26. Also drafted running back A.J. Dillon from Boston College in the second round. Rodgers, there's a few quotes from Rodgers that we'll get into in a little bit, but what's your reaction to the picks made by the Packers, and were you happy with those?
Well, I can't really judge at the picks yet because I haven't seen them play at all, but I remember on draft day, I was really hoping the Packers would either draft an inside linebacker or a wide receiver in the first round, or get like a wide receiver at least one of the days. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I'm not going to freak out. It's like, oh, Packers are just ruining the end of Rodgers' career or something by like not giving him a weapon. So, because like he still has guys like Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and like it's not like we have nobody on the offense. So I'm not too worried about that. I'm just kind of realizing that LaFleur is just kind of draft his own guys just to fit his own system he's trying to implement. So if there's little growing pains moving on from McCarthy to LaFleur's scheme, then this is, I guess, what it is. But until we can see some of those guys play up in this season, I can't really judge how good those draft picks were. And for Jordan Love, I guess, like, I won't know if that's a good pick in 2 or 3 years or 5 years. So it's kind of like a wait-and-see kind of thing. In the short term, all of this stuff can be alleviated if Packers make the playoffs, have a good run in the playoffs. I mean, they went 13-3 last year, so I mean, they're going to overachieve a little bit, but I still expect them to be right back to the playoffs next year, probably challenging for the NFC North again, so I'm not too worried about that. I'm just interested on how the team, like how the offense is going to look, because you could tell, like last year, we were trying to put more tight ends in the formation, more running backs, maybe get a fullback involved in the offense a little bit, but I'm not really spread it out anymore like we did under McCarthy. But yeah, it's just kind of a wait and see game for the Packers and for Packers fans.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, as you say, like the Packers went 13-3 last year, and I feel like they get a lot of scrutiny for whatever. Like, we've talked before on how the media definitely portrays them of always saying the wrong things and whatnot. So let me get into the Aaron Rodgers quotes. So he said, there's a few different ones I'm going to say here. We haven't picked a skill player in the first round in 15 years, so that'd be kind of cool. I thought that maybe it was sarcastic. Another quote, no matter who you bring in, they're not going to be able to beat me out anytime soon. That's definitely true. And then the last one was, this is probably the most popular one that I saw that was on ESPN. Not going to say I was thrilled by the pick necessarily. So stop it right there. That's on a lot of media sites is all that anyone would see. So, but then if you keep going in the quote, it says, but I understand that the organization is not thinking just about the present, but the future. And I respect that. I feel like what Rodgers said was high class in every way. I mean, no shit, no one's going to beat him out right now. I mean, if he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league, always up for an MVP. He's 36, but he still has, in my mind, 4 or 5 more years in him. And I feel like, you know, the media was definitely portraying him as being like, you know, with that first part saying, I wasn't thrilled by the pick. You know, that's a bunch of BS. Cause of course, like if you're the quarterback of this franchise for the past 10, 15 years, like, yeah, you're not going to be thrilled with them drafting a quarterback, especially in the first round. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
I guess obviously the media was going to construe this in a way that made Rodgers look upset or something like that. I mean, it happened last year where when LaFleur was hired, everyone was like, and it's like the Tennessee offensive coordinator, like, they weren't that good last year. Like, they're going to, you know, the issues between him and Rodgers already. So we've already went through the circus already with Rodgers being upset with either LaFleur or the organization, but I'm not so worried about it. I mean, Rodgers is a smart guy, and he's also a professional, too. I mean, he obviously is going to be looking out for himself the most. And if this draft pick means that he doesn't retire with the Packers, but, well, I guess that happens. I mean, how often is it that your star quarterback stays with your team throughout their whole career? Like, even Tom Brady moved on to a different team. So.
Exactly.
And if you look through, like, history, like, play, like, quarterbacks just, like, the star quarterbacks always just seem to, like, end their career somewhere else. So, I've always wanted to have Rodgers to retire as a Packer. I still think he's going to, but I guess this draft pick kind of opens the door for him to have kind of some decisions to make down the line, either for himself or the Packers' decision in a couple of years' time, if they want to kind of bomb from Rodgers and just go with Jordan Love and kind of do what a lot of the teams are doing now, like the rookie contract at the quarterback position and use a bunch of the cap space across the rest of the team, which I'm kind of excited to look forward to see a Packers team like that, but I was hoping to see that one. I knew for sure Rodgers wasn't going to be good enough to play, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
No. And I think, too, you made a good point on how, you know, you were saying a lot of quarterbacks don't finish their career with their, you know, most tenured franchise. And I think if, you know, if Rodgers gives the Packers 4 or 5 more good years and then goes off to play on some other random team for a year or two, I mean, I think he deserves that. And, you know, he probably would sign like a 10-day contract with the Packers so then they could retire his number. I'm sure it would end up okay. But, you know, for a guy that's given his all to an organization like he has, I mean, he has kind of every right to do that down the line. What do you think of their second round draft point choice with AJ Dillon? Are you a fan of that?
Oh, I didn't know much about it when we drafted him, but then I just looked up his highlight tape. So we got this 250-pound running back.
Yeah, he's huge.
Barely through people. He's actually pretty quick. So kind of compliment him with Aaron Jones. Like, I'm pretty excited, and that means Aaron Jones gets more opportunities in the passing game. Like, that can only mean a good thing. So. I'm pretty excited for him. So,
and I mean, oh, sorry.
Hopefully, he can stay in shape and not peter out like Eddie Lacy did. Eddie Lacy had a little bit of injury problems, but he hit the buffet a little too many times as well. But I'm excited for this AJ Dillon just because he's just going to bring something new to the offense. Like Aaron Jones, who's a kind of like quick back that he's kind of like sprint, he'll flip his tackle to. Find you, slip through the hole, try to find the extra yards here and there, but this new guy will just run you over and just run away from you. So.
Well, and as you were saying, he's a big boy, like 250-pound running back. I saw him at Boston College a couple of times, just break three for like 60-yard run, just bulldozing people over. I was thinking, you know, he'd be a great third down back for like, you know, if it's a third and two or even like third and inches, or if they're on the goal line and they just need to. You know, power through. He's kind of like a new Coon, you know, like he's kind of just like that big guy. Like he's kind of a safety valve. It's like, all right, let's give it to Dillon, run that bad boy in. But I actually like that pick. As you were saying before, I also watched some of his highlights from college, and he's, you know, for a big boy, a very durable running back. So what are your predictions for the Packers this season?
My predictions are, well, obviously the schedule is going to be a little tougher because we finished first in the division last year. So, I mean, so we're going to play all the first-place teams from last year. So, I think we're going to go to the 49ers again, which I don't see us winning that game unless something drastically changes on our run defense. And that's a little bit of a concern for me is that, I don't know, like, how much the run defense improves with over the offseason. I mean, we got Tristan Kirksey to come in for a linebacker for the Browns. I guess he's pretty good. He's just had injury issues, so we'll just see how that plays out. But we just have had issues against the run all of last season. So, and that just opens up play action, and play action with George Kittle just running down the middle of the field. Like, you're not going to stop that.
No.
Nobody can stop that. But, I mean, I think Packers winning the North or at least making the playoffs. I mean, there's certain spots in the playoffs now for each conference, so I don't see how there's 7 teams better than the Packers in the NFC right now. But yeah, I think it'll be a tight. I think the Vikings are going to be there again. And I've always kind of overhyped the Bears. Like, I mean, I guess Bears fans are maybe a little, I don't know, maybe a little wary of what to expect from this season. But as long as they have that defense, they just need okay play from the quarterback position in order to put up like 9 wins.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be too worried about the Bears this season. They have their own issues, especially at quarterback. I would love to have the Aaron Rodgers controversy right now with his quotes instead of them actually having to compete for a quarterback. So I think you guys are in a lot better spot. And hey, we got your old tight end Jimmy Graham, which I'm sure you're thrilled that we got this offseason. I've seen so many things where there was like the worst signing this season was the Bears getting tight end Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys signed Jimmy Graham. I mean, he watched him at the Packers at all the last season. He is the slowest.
He didn't do anything.
He is so slow. That's also another thing. We're going to have a new tight end next year because we drafted Jay Sternberger from St. A&M last year. So he's probably be the guy.
And then you drafted a tight end this year, didn't you, in the third round from Cincinnati? I don't remember his name.
It was a weird thing. Everyone was like, yeah, we just have to pull back. So, yeah, but I guess you could play there, but he's also a tight end. But I don't know. I'm just imagining maybe like a use check kind of player from him. But, you know, third round is kind of a risky thing. I'm not really sure what to expect from that player. He's just like, if he just like, when you're like playing like NCAA football or something, you're recruiting like players and he shows up in his position is just athlete pretty much. So I think he can play anywhere, maybe tight end or fullback or something like that. But Sternberger is going to be the main tight end next year. And he was one of the top tight ends coming out of last year's class. So he just had injury problems last year. So that's why he couldn't really get going.
Yeah. Well, I remember you hyping him up last year during the draft. And, you know, I'm definitely expecting the Packers to finish atop of the division, you know, competing with the Vikings for sure. It's going to be like an interesting year because, of course, we don't even know, you know, we hope that the season's going to start on time, but who knows with all this going on what the timeline is for that. But your Packers are definitely going to be up there. That's for sure. I think now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is on a mission, as he always is, but I feel like for this year, for whatever reason, he's, you know, especially after getting stomped by the Niners in the NFC Championship game last year, I feel like he's, you know, I'd watch out for the Packers this year. And that's me as a Bears fan saying that. So I'm definitely expecting to see the Packers do great things. Let's jump into the Cubs. So we know you're a Packers fan, but I know you're even a bigger Cubs fan. What do you think of the new Joe Ross hiring this year on the Cubs? Was that the best move that you think that they could have made?
I'll be honest, I kind of just wanted to move on from like the whole 2016 like World Series thing. Like, I mean, yeah, obviously we have some of the same players from that team still on, but I kind of just wanted to move on to like a different direction. Just trying to see we can't live in 2016 land every like for the rest of our lives.
True.
Like we already went through that 108 years of like, oh, maybe next year we'll win one. Like, now we finally won one. I just don't want it to be like, well, at least we had 2016. It's like,
exactly.
It's just like a loser mentality. Just like settle just for like one championship. So, but you know, like the hire was needed. Like, we needed a different ship. We needed a change. Like, Joe Maddon, obviously, he's the greatest manager in Cubs history for everything that he's done. But just like his message wasn't getting across anymore. His style of managing wasn't really working. And the thing that upset like me and a lot of other Cubs fans is just his inconsistency with the lineup every day. Like, you just have guys in new spots or just batting like second one day, and then next game he'll be batting seventh while playing in a completely different spot. There's just like no consistency really. And his bullpen management was a little suspect at times, but yeah, I mean, we'll thank Joe Maddon for everything he's done. So, like, we'll welcome back. We'll give him a big standing note the next time he's at Wrigley Field. But David Ross is the manager now. I mean, rookie manager. We'll see how that goes. I mean, at this point, I just want baseball to be back. I don't care if the Cubs start off just 0-10 with just red flags going up everywhere. I mean, it'd be better than nothing. But I don't know. It's also just another kind of wait and see thing for me. Just, I'm not going to judge David Ross on stuff he can't handle. But
so
I just think that this year would have been the last year for a lot of these guys in terms of if they're like good enough to be part of the future of this organization, because there's some players that are just, it's time for them to deliver now.
I first want to thank you for saying David Ross, because I definitely said Joe Ross, who's a pitcher on the Nationals. Yeah. So I want to thank you for clarifying David Ross. It is David Ross, Rossi, as the players call him. I don't know how I forget. I should have just said Rossi. I was going to say that, but I was like, yeah, I'll just say his name. And of course I say Joe Ross. So thank you for that. I think honestly, I think the David Ross move was, you know, like probably the best move that they could have made, because, you know, as you were saying, this is almost like, I'm saying it's a transition year, not in the fact that they can't compete, but you're right. I feel like it is kind of time for, you know, this is the year that some players are going to produce, and if they can, it's time to move on. Like as you were saying, you know, you can't live in the 2016 memory land forever. My thing with the Cubs is you're right. The Joe Maddon lineup consistency bugged the hell out of me too. It worked sometimes, but a lot of times it didn't, and it was just, you know, annoying that you didn't know who was going to bat where. And I think that kind of throws off the mentality for the players as well. But my thing is, though, is the Cubs offense, it did struggle at times last year, but it's usually there. Like, you can always kind of count on it. My big concern for them is their bullpen. I actually like their starting pitching. I mean, I love their starting pitching with Hendricks, who's always consistent. And then you have Yu Darvish, who can be one of the top 10 pitchers in the league if he's on. And then you still have Quintana and Lester. And, I mean, they got rid of Hamels last year. I mean, which is good. I mean, he was only supposed to be there last year. But for their bullpen, though, so they lost Strope, who's fine. I mean, he was time for him to go. They lost Cishek, which I thought he was one of their more consistent bullpen pitchers last year. Obviously, their main focus is Kimbrel. They have Kyle Ryan, Rowan Wick. But then, you know, you have pitchers competing for a spot, which I've never even heard of. You have guys like Dan Winkler, Dwayne Underwood, James Norwood, and then you have Jeremy Jeffers, who has been good, but he was hurt last year, so you're definitely taking a risk on him. What do you think that they have to do? Do they have to get more guys for the bullpen, or do you think that they're just going to have to work it out?
I don't think they have much room to do much with transactions this year. They just need guys to just step up. I mean, it's just really make a big hit for a lot of these guys. Like, yeah, Craig Kimbrel at the back end of that bullpen, like, we signed him, expected him to be, like, his old dominant self. I mean, yeah, he had a weird season last year where he didn't sign until, like, July.
Yes.
So, but we were hoping maybe, like, a normal spring training, in a normal season would have done him some good, but I don't know. But, yeah, it's just the pitching is a little bit of a concern for me. Like, I'm confident Hendricks and Darvish. And then Lester, if there's, like, a big game, like, I'll kind of big John, but Quintana, you guys killed us on that trade.
yes, yeah. We did. White Sox definitely won that trade, I'll say.
But, I mean, he's a fine pitcher, but yeah. Like, for what we gave up for him, he needs to be better. And, I don't know, like, who's going to be the fifth starter? That was kind of a question. Was it going to be Chatwood again or something like that? But
he's definitely going to be starting some games, and he's definitely going to be in the bullpen some games. This is going to be the reality there, I think.
Yeah, but there's some good pieces in the bullpen. Like, I'm a big fan of Rowan Wick, and I thought Jeremy Jeffress was going to have a good bounce back here. But, yeah, I don't know. The bullpen's a question mark, and kind of the back half of the rotation is a question mark, because, yeah, like, if I've got Darvish and Hendricks coming up against two of those pitchers, like, I think we can come away with two wins. I mean, if our offense is playing how it should,
would you say that the Cubs White Sox classic is back? That the rivalry is better with the Sox definitely improving and the Cubs not exactly their 2016 selves? Would you say that it would be a pretty competitive series this year?
I mean, the games are always close. I mean, I think they split last year, but I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, the White Sox, I'm not really that concerned about them just because I've got bigger rivals than the White Sox to me. Like, I'm more worried about what the Cardinals are doing or what the Brewers are doing. I mean, it's like, obviously, when we play the White Sox, I want the Cubs to beat them 10-0 each
time. Of course.
But, yeah, I mean, the White Sox are doing well, too. I mean, it doesn't really affect what the Cubs are doing unless we meet in the World Series. So it's just like, if the White Sox fans want to make a big rivalry, I guess, it's good for them. But I'm not really too worried what's going on.
I think we need another Pierzynski Michael Bear brawl. That's what I'm looking for. Obviously, you're right. Every year, no matter how the Cubs and Sox are doing, and you know, for the last 5 years, it's been the Cubs competing for World Series and the Sox rebuilding. It's always close in the series. I'm just looking for. I feel like now, like in the years to come, if the White Sox, since they have improved, are competing for a championship or even just to make the playoffs, I feel like that could definitely bring, you know, like I want to see another brawl like on the field or like, you know, when at Wrigley, when Pierzynski hit that walk-off and the fans were just throwing trash. Like, I want to see some – I love that stuff. Like, I want to see that so badly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, the new era kind of enters, like, cross-city rivalry. I mean, we got, like, the – like, Javi Baez versus Tim Anderson, which debate, I guess. I mean, I don't get to debate at all. Like, obviously, I think Javi's a million times better. But, like, I like Tim Anderson as a player. Like, he's a fun guy to watch. So, like, there's that. For both sets of fans to discuss. I mean, both teams were expected to be pretty good this season, so maybe I was expecting the White Sox to maybe finish in the 85-90 win range, depending on how things went, and I was expecting the Cubs to finish around there too. So it was a fun series to have, just to have two even teams go at it with two passionate fan bases, just trying to talk the most shit to each other. So yeah, I mean, just hopefully we get a chance to watch it this season, and then we'll just see how the schedule lays out.
So the next topic that I want to get into with you is about the NBA. The NBA has recently been in talks to resume play at Disney's ESPN World of Sports Complex. The season would take place in late July. They're actually not sure if it will go straight to the playoffs or if they will finish some sort of variety of the season. In the complex, they have three different arenas, and they also have hotel accommodations where the players would stay, so they're all, like, quarantined at this complex. So in the beginning of June, there'd be like a 2-week recall of players into team marketplaces, and then there'd be a 2 to 3 week training camp. Lots of owners and executives think that Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, will give the go-ahead for the beginning of June. What are your thoughts on there actually being a chance of the NBA season continuing / finishing?
I mean, we need it as bad as anything, but I'm just still skeptical on the fact that I just can just see like a group of players or maybe one team or just like, I don't know, just a group of teams that are just refusing to come back just due to like the safety factors or just the risks involved. So, I mean, I really hope that they can just find a way to get the NBA back or just find a way to finish the season or even just go straight into the playoffs. I mean, if that's at Disney World, that'd be awesome. It should be pretty cool. Just have like, all the teams at one place. Just, it'd be like high school, like summer, but like tournament, like summer tournament, like,
yes.
Like your high school team, like your AAU team, you're, like everyone's at the same place, playing at the same place. Like that'd be pretty fun to watch. It'd be kind of just like the NBA Summer League, but it's actually being taken seriously.
It definitely gave me the AAU vibes for sure. Just seeing, you're right, all those players, just, you know, they'd probably be, you know, they're all in those close variety of arenas. So it'd definitely be an interesting thing to watch from a sports perspective from like all the fans. You're right though. It just, all it takes is one or two players to not be comfortable with it, or, you know, especially some of the older coaches, which I totally see. Like, I mean, as a fan, we want to see it happen, but at the same time, we're not the ones doing it. So it definitely just depends on if people are okay with it, like the players and the coaches. And you're right, I don't know if they will. It's just, it's hard to see the season finishing. I just feel like it's been gone for too long, and it's just kind of at this point, there's just bigger issues at hand. But I mean, you're probably the same way here. I'm just more worried about baseball at this point getting canceled. And I mean, I really want to see that, and NFL starting on time. So I've almost just kind of accepted the losses of the NBA, but if they could somehow throw it together, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you that the NFL and the MLB are higher on my priority list now, just because there's just, those are just farther down the line. And like, if we don't have those around for sports, like, we'll just be without sports for probably like a year then. So the NBA is just like, if that comes back, it's just kind of just
a bonus,
the cherry on top of the cake or something like that. So,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, no, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know, I kind of forgot what I was gonna say, but is this like the NBA coming back? Yeah, we got to start. I forgot.
No, you're good. Well, I think for, if the NBA, you're right, it would be the cherry, because it shows that, okay, if the NBA is coming back right now, I feel like then the other sports would come back. I feel like it would just happen. Like, it would have, like, good signs going ahead that, okay, sports is going to happen. I know that colleges right now, like SEC, ACC, they're all coming up with these plans that they're allowing players and coaches to come back to facilities, so that's a good sign for like college football and college basketball coming up as well. I'm not sure. It's very interesting in college. I could definitely see a season happening, but maybe certain conferences not partaking just because they're not comfortable. So that'd be kind of weird to see like college football happening, but like the Big Ten isn't happening or something. You know, that'd be kind of crazy. I know that a lot, that some schools, there was in the MAC, there's a lot of conference tournaments already canceled for next year for certain sports like baseball, basketball, or not basketball, baseball, tennis, swimming, I even saw. So that's definitely going to be interesting if sports happen next year, to see which conferences have restrictions on tournaments and stuff like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it'd definitely be weird if there's just different conferences doing different things, just based on what they think is right. But I remember like when I was trying to say about the NBA, I mean, it also comes down to if these players, like, I hate to get into like this side of the kind of politics, I guess, like between like if the players are getting paid, like they should be playing if they can, you know? Like if they don't want to play, that's fine. Like that's up to them if they don't want to play, but they should either use their salary or something, like a part of their salary to help with some of the like, other like members of the organization, like the employees that you don't hear about that are struggling right now because there's no games right now. So I don't know. It's just like, just because like sports are being played, there's like people that don't have jobs right now because of that as well. Like, so
absolutely,
it's kind of come to that point where it's like, if it's safe enough to play with all like the social distancing guidelines, like the, or and all the safety measures that are taken, like if it's safe enough to play and everyone's being tested, like I feel like you just have to like do it at this point if there's a way to do it.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And you know, on last week's podcast, or one of the last podcasts I was doing, I talked about the UFC fights going on, and they've been taking great precaution. They've been doing multiple tests for like all the players and everyone entering the arena for the event. And there was one UFC event a few weeks ago where there's been one player that tested positive, and they took care of it and they ended up having the events and there was no problem. So I just feel like we are heading in the right direction. And as you said, if it's safe enough to play, I feel like also that the players will just want to play. But there's just so many different factors because it's not always, it's not all just about the players. It's about the coaches as well. And, you know, any older people involved that are definitely more at risk to the virus. So there's just a lot of factors, but I think, you know, in time it will tell if it will be realistic for sports to occur. But it's just kind of small steps at a time. And I do think if something like, you know, like the NBA were to happen, it would be a great, start in the right direction. So we'll see, you know, as sports fans as us, we'll take anything at this point. So I'm, you know, I feel like we're being very optimistic and I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I don't know what the future of sports is going to look like, but I feel like they will figure it out. And I feel like sports will be a part of our lives, in due time, but
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But
I mean, it's just the weather's getting nice outside. People are getting just a little restless. So, I
mean, oh my gosh, you're telling me.
Better or for worse, I mean, it's just, like I said, I've started getting back to normal sooner or later. I mean, whether that's continuing with the social distancing and wearing face masks everywhere, I mean, like, I'd rather do that and be able to live a life a little bit more normally if everyone has to stay 6 feet apart and wear face masks all times out in public. I mean, it's, as long as that means we can continue to go to sporting events or like be able to just go like out to eat or something, like anything, just to get life back to normal a little bit.
I mean,
even if they, like, what if they, like, their sports come back and they can fill up the stadiums like a third of the way, just because at that point you can just have everyone just social distancing correctly. I mean, I'm sure that would just be a logistical nightmare, but it's just something that can be fun to think about. It's like a third full stadium just
everyone
6 feet apart, but better than nothing, I guess.
I'm already tired of seeing, as I said before, the Korean Baseball League has all these like fake fans in the outfield, and it's brutal to watch, like, to see that. It's like, God, that's just don't even have the fake fans out there. Like they're wearing like coronavirus masks. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need some, you know, as you said, you know, just a third of the fans would be just a totally different atmosphere. Oh, that'd be great. And as you're saying before, you're right. It's Memorial Day weekend. Like, we should be watching baseball. Like, this is a prime baseball weekend. Just grilling on the, like, grilling hot dogs and burgers outside, watching the Cubs have like a 120 game. Oh man, that's just, it's funny. Cause as you said yesterday, when we were talking about doing the show, you were like, oh, like, I didn't realize it was Memorial Day tomorrow, you know, because every day is the same right now. So it's crazy. We're missing it, but I hope sports comes back soon because I need to eat a burger and watch a ball game. Stat. That's all I know.
I love to talk about like an actual game for once instead of like what ifs or
exactly
like what are like what do you expect is going to happen. Like, I'd love to like be able to react to something than try to predict things. So yeah, it's getting old, but I feel like life is at the end of the tunnel at this point. Like, there's sports coming back across the world, and it's just a matter of time. We're just a little behind. We're just like a little behind some of the other countries that got Corona, so we just had to like just wait it out a little bit. We just have to wait it out a little bit longer. But I think, like, I just really comes down to, like, in my opinion, like, if the NFL comes back or not. Like, if the NFL doesn't come back, that means that this is really serious. I mean, it's for the NFL to shut down. Like, I just can't see a world where the NFL would ever try to shut down. I just think they're just so focused on making money or expanding their brand and just, like, growing the NFL. So, like, worldwide. So, if that gets canceled, then I say we're
screwed.
It's a really desperate, situation for a lot of us.
So, on this show today, usually I have my Flick of the Week segment, and I also have my Bet of the Week segment. This week, since Ike has joined us on the show, I am going to move the Flick of the Week to this segment along with the Bet of the Week, so Ike's going to join in this week. So, the show that everybody should have watched, or should watch going forward, that is probably the most popular show out there right now, is Ozark, specifically season 3. I know, Ike, you just finished the season the other day. Me and my family finished it a few weeks ago. What a hell of a season. So my dad actually rewatched the second season before, And I didn't, and I definitely should have, because I felt like you didn't need to watch the second season before the third season, but it definitely would have helped, because I definitely forgot about a lot of stuff that went down. But holy shit, this season three just kicked off and it just got going. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's the difference between season three and the first two seasons is definitely kind of noticeable right away. Like, the first two seasons, you got, like the birds, like, they're just, they're, like, running, like, that blue cat, like, little, like, lakeside resort, restaurant, boat shop, stop place, and then they have, like, the strip club that they're, like, laundering money through, and, like, the funeral home. Like, they're just kind of, like, focused on those locations, and then season three, they just have, they got this nice casino right there, and then they've just got like different antagonists, like the war, like the drug cartel they're a part of, like they're at war, like in the season, and it's just like the stakes are getting higher, and like there's just like backstabbing going on between like the birds and like Helen Price, like their lawyers. So there's just it's just an interesting way to play out, and then there's just, like the wild cards going in there, like Wendy's brother Ben just coming out of nowhere.
I know.
Insane. And then just like Wyatt Langmore just dating,
shacking up with Darlene. Like, where's that coming from? I did not see that coming. And he's just so casual about it. Like that first episode or two, he's just in like that random house, just like smoking a bong in the tub, and you're like, how is he living in this house? Like, what is going on? And you figure out that he's just in some random house chilling there, and then he finds Darlene, who is kind of his savior. Honestly, as crazy as Darlene is, I mean, she took him in, and I feel like he was more normal once he was with Darlene, you know?
I'll be honest, like, setting up, like, next season, like, I it's gonna, like, for next season, it's gonna pretty much be, like, the birds versus, like, Darlene next season, and Darlene's got a pretty good squad going
in. Yeah, she does. So,
like she knows what she knows what she's doing. She's insane, but she's kind of just, like, relying on the fact that people that are local to the Ozarks kind of just know the land better. They just know how to kind of succeed at all costs, really, and in order to protect, like, their hometown. So it'll be an interesting dynamic while the birds are just survived getting just wrecked again. They just, instead of them getting killed, it was the other, it was solid. So they're still alive somehow. They're still together somehow. But
I know.
But their time's up, especially with Bruce not really being too happy with them anymore. Or I mean, Darlene's obviously still not happy at them with kind of how everything went down season one and two with the husband having to be killed. So
I think
season four is up going to be
And I think ultimately the X factor in the show is Ruth. She is – so if you're listening to this and you haven't watched Ozark, especially season three, we might be kind of spoiling things for you. But so don't keep listening if you're looking to watch it. But we're just trying to, you know, do our best at describing what's going on here and all this crazy shit. But Ruth is definitely, in my opinion, as I was just saying, the X factor, because she's now, of course – kind of squatting up with Wyatt and Darlene because the birds were treating her like crap. And, you know, obviously she was with Ben, and even though Ben needed to be taken care of, you know, she, you know, was definitely in love with him. And, you know, Wendy played a big part in that. And I think Ruth, it's obviously going to be like in season four, like who's she going to end up being loyal to, like Darlene and Wyatt or the birds? You know, I feel like that's going to definitely be a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah, I mean, I just set it up for the fact that she's just like her and Wyatt have reconciled, so looks like they're gonna be on good terms again. And then like Darlene like helped her out by just shooting the dick off of.
Oh my!
They're also trying to keep you know, the Kansas City mob too. So it's like the mob and then like the car, like Darlene and Ruth versus the birds and the Mexican cartel. So. We just have like an interesting group of characters just ready to go for season four, pretty much.
I'm pumped.
The main takeaway from the show is just like there's just so many characters, but like not even like none of them are like really likable.
No.
Like, they're just all just like either just like really scummy or just like really just shady in some way, or they're just hard set on their ways and they're just like unable to like realize if they're just like hurting other people, like they're part of their like own crew or something like that. So it's just like everyone is just out for themselves down there. I mean, I guess it's got to kind of how it has to be in like a world like that, but it's like everyone is just, you're like in Breaking Bad, you were cheering for Walter White, even though you knew he was doing bad things. Like,
absolutely.
You're still able to kind of cheer for him, I guess. But because I'm only bringing that up because just due to the comparisons between Breaking Bad and Ozark were sometimes out there, but in Ozark, like, Monty Bird, it's just like, I kind of want to like you, but like, at the same time, you just do so many things that are just questionable that I kind of have to, like, I have to reevaluate whether or not I just am cheering for you to do well, or if I want. Darlene is too good. Like, I mean, a person like Darlene doing good, like, that can't be a good thing for everyone else. But at this point, she seems like the most reasonable.
And
which is saying something.
And you bring up a great point with relating Ozark to Breaking Bad, because me and my family have talked about how, especially after watching season 3, it has like those Breaking Bad vibes. I feel like it's like a different show, but with all the different characters, there's just so much tension going on, and like everyone like switching sides and teaming up. Like, you would never see these people teaming up from season 1 to season 4. Like, you would never imagine that happening. It's gonna be interesting. You're right, this show does such a good job at making you like intrigued in all the characters, but you're not really rooting for them, because you're like, well, you deserve to get shot in the nuts, like, you know, what Darlene did. But I mean, everyone kind of deserves it, so you know, you don't really feel bad for anyone that gets it, or you're like, you're not really surprised, because everyone is definitely asking for it in that show. So let's move on to our last segment here, the bet of the week. So let's start off with you. I know that you had a bet that you wanted to talk about, and then I'll talk about it as well. I'll give my advice on my bet.
All right. Well, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not really a big sports bettor, so don't take this at all with any seriousness, but I'm just doing, like, I think you're doing a Bundesliga one too, but I'm doing my Bundesliga one. So there's a game coming up on Wednesday, I think, at 9:30. It's between Werder Bremen versus FC Schalke. So I decided, like, when the Bundesliga started back up, like, I'm a big soccer fan, but I usually just watch the Premier League, so I just focus most of my energy on that. But I got pretty familiar with the Bundesliga and, like, kind of doing some of the better teams, like Bayern Munich and Dortmund. But I just, like, you know what, I'm just going to pick Schalke to cheer for, just so I have a team to cheer for when there's just no sports going on. So when I became a Schalke fan, the first game I ever saw them play as a new Schalke fan, they lost. Well, today I was 4-0 to Dortmund. So I was like, well, that's not a good start. And then they look terrible. And then they played their second game and they lost 3-0 to Augsburg. So this game coming up, they're playing. Oh, actually, they're not playing Werder Bremen. I'm sorry, they're playing Fortuna Dusseldorf. But Fortuna Dusseldorf, they drew and won in their first two games back. So just put all your money on them. Schalke is going to lose them again. So that's just all I'm going to say.
All right. So you heard it here first. Don't pick Schalke. They're not going to do well. So yeah, so for my bet of the week, there's another UFC fight night on Saturday night. The main event is against Tyron Woodley against Gilbert Burns. Woodley is the favorite. I think he's like minus 180 or something, and Burns is like a plus, what's it, like 270 or something, which is usually how those main events go. The over under for the number of rounds that's taking place is 4.5 rounds. I think this is going to be, I don't know a ton about UFC, but I have done a little research. I feel like it's too close to call who's going to win the main event. I think it's pretty much a toss up just from going off their records and past performances. They both have an extremely good record. I'm going to say it's going to go under 4.5 rounds. So I think someone's either going to get knocked out or go into submission before then. I feel like in a heavyweight matchup like this, someone just is going to land a huge punch or someone's just going to wear someone else down. And I just don't see it going the distance of, you know, there being a unanimous decision. So someone's going to knock somebody out. I don't know who it's going to be, but minus 4.5 rounds for sure. That's my bet. Lock it in.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Woodley, the American versus the Brazilian Burns. So I'm going with the American.
All right, I like that. I didn't even know that.
He's the favorite. So
what's the?
He's got minus 190. Right
okay,
now.
So I was right about. That's what I figured. It was something like that. All right, yeah, I'm going Woodley too. I'm not advising to bet on Woodley, as I said, to take the under 4.5. But if I were to bet on someone, it would be Woodley because I'm not going to go against the American. You're right. That'd be unpatriotic of me.
Especially on
Memorial Day. You can't make an unpatriotic bet like that. That's just bad luck going towards your wallet for sure. So, Ike, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. This was awesome. You're definitely welcome back anytime on the show. There's a lot of episodes to come on the podcast, but this was fun today. This was awesome. I really love this.
Yeah, I'd love to come back on before like a big Cubs National Series or big Cubs Sox Series or maybe before a Bears Packers game. So I'd love to be able to come back on, discuss. Hopefully, it'll be actual sports to talk about. But yeah, I'd love to come back on anytime. I'm loving the show so far. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For each episode.
Yeah. You just reach out to me and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, for sure. Had a great time.
All right. Have a good one, Ike.
Yep. See
ya. For Riddle's rant of the week, it's going to have to be wet socks. Wet socks are one of my biggest pet peeves, I think, that I've ever experienced in my lifetime. Now, wet socks also goes for sweaty socks. If I have holes in my socks, not gonna cut it. There was a couple times during my time at Augustana College where I'd have an 8:30 class in the morning and it'd be storming outside. And instead of, you know, putting like rain boots on, which I don't own rain boots, but some people do, but they'd wear those. I decided to wear flip-flops with no socks because I couldn't imagine sitting in a class for an hour and a half just wearing wet socks. I mean, I would have to take those bad boys off, no doubt in my mind. I could not sit through a lecture in wet or sweaty socks. Speaking of sweaty socks, there was a couple times where I'd have like a 6 a.m. practice for tennis. And, of course, I'd have an early 8:30 a.m. class afterwards. And I'd have to go to that class in sweaty socks. Let me tell you, it was unbearable. The whole class, I couldn't even think about the equation on the board. I was just thinking about, I can't wait till I take my damn socks off. My GeForce Spotlight of the week has to go to the charity match taking place yesterday. There was a charity golf match between Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning were on one team, and they were facing Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson, and it was for charity for the coronavirus, and it was actually pretty entertaining. I didn't watch the whole thing. I definitely watched just bits and pieces. I had it on in the background, but just seeing those guys that are all just champions interacting was hilarious. And I mean, yeah, Brady's golf game was struggling at first. He actually hit some clutch shots down the line, ended up losing to Peyton and Tiger by a little bit, but it was an entertaining day. You know, I think definitely the highlight of the match was seeing the guys crack jokes at each other. Peyton Manning at one point was, and then Charles Barkley was part of it too. So he was just, you know, riding in his golf cart being like, you know, on every hole, I was just thinking, what wouldn't Chuck do? You know, and it was funny. They were just taking shots at each other. Of course, I guess Charles Barkley was in the middle of pretty much all the shots, because then Tom Brady was, you know, talking about, what did he say? He was talking about, you know, he was referencing to Barkley not having any rings. And then he was like, take a suck of that, Chuck. Shut your mouth, Chuck. Take a load of that medicine. Get your butt out here. That's what I needed. And it was funny. At one point, Brady split his pants, actually, too. He did rip his pants in the beginning, which is funny. Yeah, basically everything that was on Twitter was how bad Brady was doing, but he did make up for it down the line. And just seeing, I mean, those four guys on one golf course was pretty amazing. And just the fact that it was for charity, it was a good event. I think it was very well done. That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank my good friend, Matthew Ike, for coming on the show today. I had a blast. You're welcome back anytime. I hope you guys have a good rest of your night, and I'll see you guys next week. Riddle out.